With me for my segment of Farmer Friday, I got Jim Yeager from over at Eddyville, Jim of Farms over there. And Jim, welcome to KIIC today.
Thank you for having me. It's my big showbiz break.
Yeah, you could say that.
You worried about your job being in jeopardy here after today?
No.
Not a little bit?
No.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, you're really scraping the bottom of the barrel for farmers with me here. You know that.
Oh, please. Yeah. Please.
Nobody wants to hear me, but go ahead.
Contraire, mon frere, I appreciate you being here. Thank you so much. So let's talk a little bit about 2023. Tell us, in your mind, how things went during that harvest season.
So crop-wise, we had really good corn and good beans, and I don't know why, because we really, in our area, we've been short of moisture for, this will be the third year coming on. But yeah, the corn, we must have got something when we needed it, because it was exceptional, and the beans were, just, I just call them really good, you know. So that being said, you know, going into this spring, the ponds are low, the creeks are dry, and so the, you know, we're worse off ahead of time here compared to last year, so we'll see how this goes.
That's just it. Wintertime, we had a remarkable snowfall of 24-ish inches there in January, and then boom, within 3 weeks, it was all said and done, gone, and, you know, it melted. Probably went into the ground a little bit because of the fact that ground wasn't as frozen as you'd like to think, but still.
Actually, we didn't have, during that whole cold, we haven't had any frost in the ground this winter. Because when it was cold, you know, we had 2 foot of snow on the ground.
A little insulation.
And during that whole nasty winter, you could have put a spade in the ground under the snow anywhere you wanted all winter. So a frost is always good as far as healing the earth and kind of heaving and, you know, and breaking up some compaction, but we didn't have it this year, or really last year.
Yeah. And so going into the springtime now, we are banking on those storms that come through, that we get plenty of rainfall. We got 4 tenths the other day. What'd you get?
About the same, yep.
Okay. Which is nice, don't get me wrong, but when you think about it, this area needs 32 to 36 inches yearly. We were about half-ish of that last year. Want to make certain that that gets replenished like you talked about, but you can't do anything about it. You got to plan ahead. That being said, did you do any fall tillage work?
Yeah, we did what we normally do. We don't do gobs and gobs of heavy, deep tillage. Mostly we do some vertical tillage and some no-till, you know, and then we do some chiseling on some ground that needs it. But we got done what we needed done. And yeah, you could have worked all winter, it turns out. So
Absolutely. Everybody
should have pretty well got done with what
they
want to do.
Talk a little bit about fertilizer activity in the fall. Did you have any activity that
way?
Yep,
we put our P and K on in the fall for 2 years. We do 75% of our nitrogen, our ammonia needs go on in the fall, some in the spring, and then we split our nitrogen. We put on some CMS out of Ajinomoto there, and then so we got two or three sources of nitrogen, and then our P and K is on in the fall for the next 2 years.
Talk a little bit about shop work. Every time something's broke, it needs to go inside and get worked on, and maybe it's just regular maintenance. Did you have any big projects over
the winter? Well, we're dolling up the planter with some tech stuff that you got to be careful with our tech stuff these days, because you can box yourself in to a place where you can't fix it, you know, some of this electronics. So, but we're adding some things to the planter that my son wants to, well, both of us want to add, and going to see how that works. And yeah, so we're getting finished up with that, working on the sprayer a little bit now and kind of getting it ready.
Can you tweak a little bit about those technology items? What was the purpose of them? What did it?
What we're adding, we're putting down hydraulic downforce on the planter, individual downforce, and it's kind of a big step, but that's what we decided we wanted to do on some of this variable soil, and so we're going to see if we can get some return on that. go from there. But, you know, they're putting, and it's not just ag stuff, they're putting all this electronics on equipment of every kind of equipment. And that's usually the first thing you have trouble with. They're putting 5-year throwaway electronics on 30 or 40 year equipment. So we got to kind of have a little discipline on what we just throw on there. You know, we want to finish the day on Saturday. So,
and interesting stuff on that technology part. You're in an environment where the dust is rolling, the dust is flying, and the electronic stuff and dust, sometimes that didn't get along together.
It doesn't. And there's a lot of whiz-band things you can put on any kind of equipment. But like I said, it's got to kind of make sense, and it's got to have some longevity. You know, anytime you put anything electronics on equipment, you inherit an unreliability that kind of comes with it, and you got to know that going in, and hopefully you can keep it going, or somebody can.
Absolutely, without costing you an arm and a leg. Talking with Jim Yeager, he's a farmer over there at Eddyville. Talk a little bit about your corn, bean, in terms of percentage-wise, are you?
We're about generally 50-50, and we don't really change that rotation. We don't deviate from that much. You know, the markets might call, hey, we need more corn or more beans this year, but as far as taking care of the land and doing the rotation, we don't just deviate for year to year market conditions, because I think it can sneak up on you and bite you sometimes too. So
you got a large amount of hay because of the fact that you got cow calf operation. Talk about your hay fields.
Last year we were probably at, I don't know, 75% of what we'd normally get. You know, we tried to chop a little bit extra this year, and you know, to feed the cows, and yeah, things are not, there's no hay, you know, not an excess of hay to buy. Nobody's selling hay. It's, if you do, it's expensive, you know, so we try not to buy any. We try to grow what we need. So yeah, it's tricky.
Talk a little bit about your fertilizer requirements for hay.
So we put on a 4-to-1 ratio of potassium and phosphorus on our alfalfa. And we put that on about, you know, right after the first cutting of the year's taken off. And that's good for the year. So it's kind of expensive to keep alfalfa going, but
you need it.
It's
so consequently
expensive to do everything.
Yeah. Some people will keep that hay field going for 3 or 4 years. Talk about your thinking on that.
Yep. You know, and if you take care of it, you fertilize it good, you keep the bugs out of it, you know, and you don't abuse it in the fall, you know, right ahead of a frost. You want your reserves build up before you get a frost. You don't want to cut it 1st of November and frost the next day. So if you do all those things, you know, you can make it last 5-6 years and fertilize it good. And
all right. And so looking ahead, I'm assuming that you've got your seed already ordered. Talk about that.
Yep. Most everybody buys seed in November and December, and sometimes before that. So we've got everything booked, and they're going to bring some soybean seed here in a couple of days, so we'll be ready for that. So
when you order that seed in November, you got to think ahead another calendar year. What are some of the characteristics that you wanted to make certain that you covered? Sometimes people go short season, sometimes people go drought resistant.
Yep, we do some, you know, harvest, it's not a week long, it's all fall, so you got to think about, okay, what's going to stand there? And, you know, you're going to finish up in November, hopefully, and so you got to have some that's built to take it. Some of these varieties anymore, it didn't seem like you used to have to think about your corn falling down, but they're breeding genetics, you know, for yield, and it seems like you got to kind of watch your standability on some of it. So different hybrids, different maturities.
You don't want to have everything come to fruition at one point in time. You want to spread it out a little bit, because you know as well as I do, sometimes you might have to wait a little while. So maturity-wise is very important.
Yep.
Talking with Jim Yeager, he's a farmer over there at Eddyville. Talk a little bit about your thought process. I know sometimes your dad leased equipment. Is that something that you continue to do, or have you gone purchase price?
No, we haven't leased anything for a while. We just kind of own what we use, and try not to have too much extra stuff you don't need, but you got to be ready to go when it's time to go too. So yeah, and this everything's so expensive, you know, everything, inputs, equipment, tech, everything's so crazy right now, so you got to kind of watch it.
Talking with Jim Yeager, he's a farmer over there at Eddyville. Talk a little bit about your marketing strategy. I'm sure you're not a cash-only person, but being able to get a product to the large corn processor or up to Oskaloosa is fairly convenient because it's basically halfway. Talk a little bit about marketing strategy if you can.
Well, seems like we do the wrong thing a lot. We try to sell based on what's happening. And the thing is, if you read something in a magazine on what someone thinks is going to happen, well, everybody else already knows it too. So it's not like you're getting any secrets out of a magazine or most marketing services. But yeah, just kind of like right now, I don't have a lot of confidence in growing a big crop corn or beans this year. So, you know, if it remains to be dry here, you know, you want to have some to sell when the market reacts to that. So yeah, we try to sell ahead. Probably don't do as much as we should. Sometimes it works, sometimes it don't.
That it does. Okay. Let's go ahead and get into that cow-calf operation that you got. Talk a little bit about your numbers ahead, and primarily you're a Black Angus guy.
Yep, we've got all Black Angus cows, and we do some AI and trying to get good females out of them. We raise our own females, keep them back, have the calves, or having them right now, and then we'll go ahead and finish those out, and we sell on the grid to Iowa Premium there in Tama. Yeah, the first time our livestock ever sees a trailer, it's leaving, you know, because it's born there, lives there, and then when it leaves, it's going to market, so we're not moving a lot of stuff around, so.
That's one of the things that surprised me when I got into the area was the fact that people had from start to finish. Sometimes they'd buy cattle or they did the cow-calf thing and got rid of the calves at weaning. But going from start to finish on one farm is interesting to watch and see because you can kind of keep track of those animals and
yep.
How they do.
Yeah, just I guess that's what my dad always did, and that's what we're doing. I guess too dumb to do anything different, so that's what we do. It works out.
Good deal. So talk a little bit quick about that AI. You learned the trade from where?
Oh, my dad, he got into that when he was young growing up, so it's just something. It's like this farming thing. There's really not a resume. It's just, you know, you get up, and if something needs done, you go do it, and pretty soon that's farming, and it's not like you really signed up or filled out a job application. That's the way it's doing. You do it. So, but no, for the most part, you know, if you want to save back females, we try to get some quality females out of the AI program so you can keep your herd, keep it going, and hopefully improve it. So,
good deal. I'm talking with Jim Yeager. He's a farmer over there at Eddyville, Iowa. And Jim, you've got a great helper there with your oldest son. Talk a little bit about that partnership that you have.
Yep, he's went to Iowa State, and he come home, and it was a place for him there. My dad was getting older, and there was a place for him, so he fits in real nice. And so we look at each other every day, and sometimes he lets me pretend I'm the boss, and sometimes I let him, and so it works out, makes us both feel good, so we get along.
That's good to hear. All right, Jim Yeager, Eddyville, Iowa, thanks for being with today for my edition of Farmer Friday.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.